ever since I put together this series of messages, we've had a warfare and a battle like we haven't had for years. And we're going home tomorrow, Rachel and I, and I wanted to finish this series. And I told the devil today that the only way he'd keep me from doing it is to kill me. Amen. Amen. And I'm not trying to be presumptuous or foolish. Amen. But I don't belong to him. Amen. I belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. And so don't worry about me. I am healed. And I know I'm healed. And I thank you for your prayers and your fastings and those things. And next time you see me, I hope to be able to talk better than this. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Stand with me, please. You should know it by now. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy, your tender kindness. I thank you for your anointing, Father. And I thank you for healing and deliverance. And I don't know, Lord, how that will manifest itself, maybe even before this message is finished this evening. But God, I pray that you would take the hearts of the people and help them, God, not to concentrate on me and this malfunctioning of the flesh, but God, that they will hear the word of the Lord tonight, and that the anointing of Almighty God will go out into this congregation, and that revelation knowledge shall burst upon them. Grant it, Father, in the name of Jesus. You may be seated. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So you speak death and you'll eat the fruit of that. You speak life and you'll eat the fruit of that. Your mouth is the master key to your life. Amen. Your mouth is the master key to your life. And your tongue has power, so you better learn how to use it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Every time you open your mouth, remember now what we've said, you turn on either the life cycle or the death cycle. Every time you open your mouth. This is not something that you get a reprieve from during certain hours of the day. Every time you open your mouth, you either turn on the life cycle. And when I say life cycle, I mean salvation, I mean healing, I mean deliverance, amen, I mean prosperity, joy, happiness, amen. Or you turn on the death cycle, which is what? Just the opposite, amen, just the opposite. Sickness, disease, amen, depression, despondency, unhappiness, failure, chaos, poverty. You turn those things on with your mouth also. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Proverbs 23 and 7. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, what shapes your thinking? Every one of you here, what in your lifetime has shaped your thinking? Words. Words that you read, words that you hear, words that are spoken to you, words that you speak shape your thinking. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, brothers and sisters, what is it that causes a man to think that he's stupid and can't do anything right? Words. And what is it that causes a man to think that he can be successful? What is it that causes a man to think that he can do anything? Words. Amen. Words. They can either create the negative or they create the positive. Amen. You start a life cycle or you start a death cycle with your words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, isn't it amazing that this attack on me is in my speech area? Amen. Because I go through the house during the day and I claim things like, my mouth shall feed many. Amen. Now, see that scripture that I put over into the first person. And I'm confessing that all the time. Praise God, that which comes out of me will be food for that little portion of the bride that God has enabled me and allowed me to speak to. So where best then to hit a man with a sledgehammer blow than where he can't speak? My wife, who has always had great faith and has always been there with a faith at times when I didn't have the faith. She's been telling me the last few days now, don't forget your confession. Amen. You've got to keep confessing. That's right. And I said, that is right. Amen. But I've got to be able to talk before I can confess. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I've done a lot of confessing from the inside of the inside. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. And that word well in the Hebrew means source. So the mouth of a righteous man is a source of life. Now again, I'm proving to you that your life is connected to your mouth. Amen. Your life is connected to your mouth. And so, if you have a desire for deliverance, you have a desire for change, amen, then, brothers and sisters, there's got to be a change in your mouth. Hallelujah. That's all there is to it. There has to be that change in your mouth. Your life is not going to change if you don't change your mouth. Now, that never does get an amen. But it causes people to think, you see, because we've been so schooled, especially back in Pentecost, of wanting some man to come through with this great anointing and this great gift and call this prayer line and everything. And all of a sudden, I am just absolutely changed. And all of a sudden, I'm healed. And all of a sudden, I'm this and I'm that. But we want to go home and talk the same old mean way that we were talking before we came. In fact, we don't even go home to do it. We just go out into the car and do it. Amen. On the way home. We don't even wait to get home. We start it right after church. Amen. And brothers and sisters, that's not God's way of doing these things. Amen. Your life is not going to change until your mouth changes. And that's the message I want to leave with you here. Proverbs 13:3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. And in the original, it means he that guards his mouth guards his life. And so again, there's a direct connection between your mouth and your life. And in Proverbs 15:4, it says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A wholesome tongue. is a tree of life. A wholesome tongue can produce a change in your life. Hallelujah. Now, what I see in these scriptures and the things that I've been teaching in the first two messages is that if you need healing, then your mouth must be healed. Amen. You hear me? If you need healing, your mouth must be healed. Amen. If you need deliverance, your mouth must be delivered. Now listen to me carefully. If you need finances, your mouth must become prosperous. And see, we don't hear much of that around the message because about the only thing Brother Branham said about prosperity was the fact that it can be very deceiving and that it in itself is not the criteria. Hallelujah. But I've experienced both poverty and prosperity, and I was content in both situations. But I found out one great thing about prosperity. There is one thing that it can't buy, and that's poverty. Amen. See if you're listening to me. Hallelujah. And I have found in a prosperous cycle, the blessings of giving far supersede the blessings of receiving. Amen. Hallelujah. But you're never going to prosper until your mouth begins to prosper. You're not going to prosper as long as you don't tithe or anything because you're living under a closed heaven, you see. But I'm talking about you're doing certain things right and correct, and you're bringing your finance to the storehouse and everything. Some of you still don't prosper. Some of you still have to rely on loan companies and bank loans and relatives to bail you out and the deacons to bail you out and all this kind of stuff. I haven't been talking to the pastor. Amen. I know that that's true in every congregation. And yet you're paying your tithes. And you're seeing somebody right across the congregation that's prospering. You can't understand. Well, there may be several places that you have closed the windows of heaven. You see, it's not automatic that they're open just with the tithe. There's a lot of ways that we can close the windows of heaven. Amen. But some of you, one thing that holds you back is that your mouth hasn't learned to prosper. You haven't learned to say what God says in His Word about His providing power and the blessings that are upon the church in this day and this time. Hallelujah. Amen. So, if you need finances, your mouth needs to learn prosperity. Hallelujah. If you need a change in your marriage, if you need a change in your family, your mouth needs some changing. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you need to live an overcoming life, you haven't been able to do that, your mouth needs to begin to overcome. Amen. And when the mouth begins to overcome, the life will overcome also. Maybe you better have another one in reserve, Brother Paul. Praise the Lord. Now, all of that I've already told you. So here we go into a little different area of this series. Romans 8:29, you know by heart. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, what does it mean to be conformed to the likeness of his Son? Or to the image of his Son, rather. It means that we should walk in a likeness to Jesus. Amen. And most all of you will agree to that. You've read this thing over and over again. You've heard Brother Branham talk about it. All the preachers talk about it. But I don't think we really have fully understood some of the deeper meanings of this. Amen. Now, I'm going to read some quotes. And for the sake of malfunctioning facial muscles, I'm not going to give all of where they're from and everything, but these are all Brother Branham's quotes. Church membership is all right. I have nothing against it or any of these things. But brother, to be a Christian means to be conformed to the image of Christ. We want to be living images, not pack an image, but be an image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now that's a powerful statement. Amen. Amen. In the world, my mother was a Harvey. And then I might take the name of Harvey. But still, the blood would prove that I am a Branham. See, because I'm part of my father. And as long as I've got blood in me, I'll still be part of my father. See? That's right. And when I'm born of the Spirit of God, I am a part of God. That's all. I am identified with Him, see, that He is my Father. Then my life should reflect Him, as my life reflects my earthly father in the image that he was in. They say I look a whole lot like my father. So then, therefore, it's his image reflected in me, and your father reflected in you, and your parents. And so, God, our Father, is reflected in us when we're born and conformed here to his image. Now, does that mean that I have a physical resemblance to Jesus? Absolutely not. Amen. But it does mean that I should be able to be the same as him in works. And I should be able to be the same as him in the way that he acted and reacted. And that I should be able to be the same as him in authority. And I should be able to be the same as him in the way that he did things when he was here on this earth. Amen. Every prophet of God in the Old Testament was anointed with the Holy Ghost. They were. Then they were lesser lights. Now we're gonna get into something. He was the fullness of God, being Messiah. Then they were Messiahs, then smaller Messiahs. For they were anointed with the same Spirit that he was anointed with, only he had it in the fullness. And every man today that's received the true baptism of the Holy Ghost is anointed with the same Spirit that Jesus of Nazareth was and went about doing good and healing the sick. Oh my, that makes me feel good to know that he lives today. Amen. There is something about a man. He is a God. Little G. Now, if you preach this and believe this, right away in the Bible bookstores, you can find yourself labeled as a cult. But you see, we don't care because we're already on that list. Amen. Amen. There is something about that man. He is a God, little G. He was made to be a God. His purpose here on earth was to be a God and to have dominion over everything in the earth. Oh my. Now don't let that stagger you, because I'm going to be giving you some more scriptures on that in just a little while. Hallelujah. That excites me. Amen. So he was called Messiah, which he was, because he was anointed with the Holy Ghost. And any church that is anointed with the same Holy Spirit, and I'm sure Brother Rana meant to say individual here, any person that is anointed with the same Spirit is a Messiah. Now, you can take this and just throw it in that vast catalog of great revelation knowledge you have and walk out of here and never do nothing with it like we do with about 90% of this stuff. Or you can begin to really think about what we're saying here tonight. Amen. He said, that man is a Messiah. Hallelujah. Praise God. A littler, smaller God. And someday, now listen to this. You want prophecies and things from the prophet? Listen to this. Someday, when this body is resurrected, I hope beforehand that God can get a hold of a bunch of people that'll manifest his power in every dimension that it's supposed to be manifested in. Hallelujah. Now, that's my dream. That is my thrust. That's why I'm beginning to preach this way in my own church. Amen. Whether I ever preach it anywhere else or not, because I believe that that's the way we're going to go out of here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, he was fashioned after God. He was given an earth and a dominion. He was made God over the earth to rule the earth, a lesser God. Talking about Adam now. God rules the universe, everything. But man was given the earth to rule the earth. He was and is a Messiah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what he is tonight. If he gets back to God, he is a Messiah. He is a little Messiah. I wasn't trying to be presumptuous or cocky or anything over at Brother Paul Ying's house the other night. Charlie and the crew are putting up a barn back there, and they got to talking about how much wind it could withstand, and I said, well, open on both ends, it could take about 500 miles an hour, I'm sure, and everything. But I said one thing about it. I said, the devil's the god of this world. And I said, Brother Paul, I believe with all my heart that if that building was constructed and completed and this huge wind or tornado or whatever come up, amen, was out there, I believe you could step back there and speak to that wind. Yes. Is there anybody in here that believes that? Yes. Amen. I believe that you could speak to that wind, amen, and it would cease. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I don't want to get into the ramifications of God's will, God's will, God's will, God's will, all of that kind of thing. But I do know that he made us lesser gods. He made us Messiahs. Hallelujah. And Brother Branham said, I hope that before it's all over and it's resurrected, that there'll be some people somewhere that'll begin to realize these things and manifest the dominion that God has given them in every area that it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. Jehovah walks back and forth over his throne, and he says, them's my eaglets. Yea, they are flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. They're born of my spirit and washed in my blood. Amen. They're mine. They're mine. Anything I tell them, they believe it. Why? Because they're eaglets. They're eagles. Amen. That's what they are. They're eagles. Just the same as I'm an eagle. They're the little gods, and I'm big God. Amen. That's right. I'm Jehovah Papa, but they're my children. There you are. Amen. So he promised these things to be taking place in this day. Hallelujah. No, sir. Papa Eagle, they look just like him. They believe the same thing that he does. Now, we're talking about being conformed to an image. Amen. They look just like him. Yes, sir. They're made just like him. They're built just like him. He knows that they're genuine eagles. Amen. And that's what God wants, a genuine Messiah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you, when we get to understanding the image and we get to understanding the armor of God, then we realize why some demon sees you walking down the street and he says to his demon buddy there, he says, what's that coming? And he said, I don't really know. I don't know what to think of him, but that looks like God's clothes. That's right. Yeah. Come on, buddy. Amen. Those are God's clothes. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if I was able to preach this, I'd be preaching some of these things. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I get excited about this. Amen. And you know, they might pull up the little helmet thing and look in there and say, well, that don't look exactly like Jesus, but he says the same thing. He talks the same way. He does the same things. Hallelujah. We better get out of here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So he says now, Messiah is the anointed one, and we are his children. We have a lesser anointing by measure. You understand that? Amen. Amen. As Jehovah Eagle is the great eagle, we are eaglets. He is Messiah, but we have the same anointing and therefore are Messiahettes. I've been preaching on the anointing at home. The anointing doesn't just remove the yoke, the anointing destroys the yoke. Amen. I've been digging some messages out from clear back when I was in evangelistic work in Pentecost. Amen. And you say, oh my, you know, you're preaching some of that? Well, absolutely, because it's the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm finding out it still works. Praise God. Still works. Over in this message, it still works. Praise God. Now, amen. Anointed, Messiah means anointed one. You're anointed. Amen. With what? With the same spirit that he was anointed with. We have it in measure. He had it without measure. He was God manifest in the flesh, but we are sons of God, parts of him. Come on. Yes, sir. The very works that I do shall ye do also. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Praise God. Amen. That scripture is not Brother Branham's. That's for whosoever will. Amen. Hallelujah. What a message to preach, holding on to your face. Amen? Amen. But the word of God is not bound. Amen. People have always been disappointed in my physical presence anyway. And so when I find that and I sense that and perceive that, I just tell them, no, my tapes are much more powerful than my presence. Amen. Praise God. And you know, there's another man in there said something about that, his letters being more powerful than his presence was. Amen. Now, we find out that he calls himself Eagle too. So he's Jehovah Eagle, and we're a bunch of eaglets, Messiahettes, eaglets. Now, I can see Big Father Eagle as he's walking around over the nest, how he loves to look at his children. Oh, my, how he loves to look at them. And how do they look? They look just like he does. Hallelujah. Now, that's what we're getting at here. That's the way God's church is. His eaglets, his messiahettes, they look like him. They act like him, they preach like him, and they do the works that he did. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. The things that I do shall ye do also, and more than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. Amen. These signs shall follow my eaglets. Amen. That's just what they do. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. One more quote. God wants eaglets. He wants messiahettes. He wants men and women who have signs and wonders. Oh, no, no, we don't preach that anymore. Say, no, we don't preach that anymore. Some of you do, amen. Hallelujah. You see, but I've been told we don't do that anymore because, you know, God already confirmed his word. I'll tell you something. As long as the word's being preached, God will confirm it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And if I know anything about what that prophet taught, amen, and I don't want to take you back under the fleshly nonsense of Pentecost, but if I know anything about what he taught, we are to have that same Pentecostal experience that they had on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about 1906. I'm talking about way back before then. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right now. He wants a church today that's filled with the Holy Ghost, a church with anointed ones, a church reflecting him, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. God says that they say amen to every bit of it. That's right. They look like him. They act like him. They believe it. They've got the conductor moving right on out with signs and wonders following. Now that's Messiah Messiah lives tonight. He isn't dead. He's alive forevermore. And he goes on then and talks about us as Messiahs. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever had 3/4 of your mouth filled with Novocaine? Yes. Amen. And then try to preach? It's not too easy. Amen. So, if we're to be like him and bear the image of him or the likeness of him, then let's look at some of the ways that we can be like God. Let's see some of the ways that we can fulfill the title of little God. Some of the ways that we can fulfill the title Messiah. Amen. Genesis 1, verse 2 and 3, we read that earlier in the series. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Darkness, chaos, without form and void, and yet the Holy Spirit was there. It said the Spirit of God was on the face of the waters. And yet no change. And that's the same thing with a lot of us. We have the indwelling Spirit, but we're surrounded by chaos and we're surrounded by all sorts of nonsense that just keeps going on and on and on in our life. And yet the Holy Ghost is there, but we haven't learned how to act like a little God. We haven't learned how to be a Messiah. Amen. Because everything remained the same until God said.
Amen.
And so if you want to start acting like God, then you learn that a lot of things are never going to move and never going to change until you learn to say it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And so everything stayed the same. Everything was just exactly in the same dark, chaotic state until God said. And then here's how God acted in that particular scenario. God saw darkness. God saw voidness. God saw chaos. But God said light. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Good.
Now, I'll tell you. This speech started going out on me the last 10 minutes of last Wednesday night's service. By the time I got to Arby's, I found out I couldn't eat just right, couldn't drink just right. And then I had to go up to Bluffton the next night and preach. And I kept believing and kept claiming and kept confessing. And by the time I got in that pulpit, it wasn't this bad, but it had really deteriorated. But I preached anyway. We only had 25 or so, amen, but it wouldn't have made any difference if there was 250. I preached anyway and just claimed the promise, spoke the word of God. And so each day I've got up and maybe the mouth and the face was a little droopier we lay down there at night to go to sleep. Right? I said, what you doing? I said, I'm trying to pull my eye shut. You know, I'm trying to get my eye closed and all these things and all the stuff that goes along with it. But that hasn't been what I've been saying. No, I've been saying that he took my infirmities.
Amen.
Amen. And he bore my sicknesses.
Amen.
And by his stripes, I am healed. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And, my daughter-in-law, she was reading the scriptures the other morning and she came across the scripture that she said she felt that the Lord had given her for me in this. And I read it then that evening and, oh, praise God, it just caused something to leap inside of me. And then to know that some of you have been praying and some of you have been fasting. And then I talked with Brother Charlie on the phone the other day, and he spoke the word, amen. And he gave me a quote where Brother Branham had said, how we'll have the ability someday just to give people rain. Amen. And all of this. And so he said, I give you your healing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, do you know what that did to me? It caused me to almost start laughing. Amen. And I told my wife, I said, that devil, I said, he's a laughing stock. I said, you know, I just want to laugh. If I could laugh real good, I'd just start laughing. Amen. Because I said, there's no way that he can do this. There's no way he can keep this on me. Amen. There's no way he can destroy my ministry with this. And so look at all the waste of time. He might as well be someplace doing something to somebody that belongs to him. Amen. Praise God. And it just made me want to laugh. And so I look in the mirror, and this eye don't work right, and this eye don't work right, and the mouth is down here, you know, and a big puff on the jaw, and all these things. And I got my grandkids standing around looking at me, you know. And I told one of them the other day, I wished I had my own bathroom. they're coming up to me all day long. Is your boo-boo healed? How's your boo-boo, you know, and everything. And all of that. But I haven't paid any attention to what I see. Amen. Hallelujah. And God didn't pay any attention to what he saw. He saw darkness. Amen. But he said light. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'll tell you something. We can, if we're acting like God now and we're Messiahs, then we can look at sickness, but we can truthfully say healed. Hallelujah. Praise God. In fact, you know something really technically about it? We are the healed already. And it's the devil just trying to make us sick, but we're already the healed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We can look at poverty and we can say prosperity. Hallelujah. We can say blessing. We can look at poverty and we can say every need met. Hallelujah. Praise God. We can look at bondage and say deliverance. We can look at weakness and say strength if we're walking in the likeness and the image of Almighty God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. Amen. Maybe I'll have this Bible broke in next time I come. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Thank you. Verse 26 to 29. For ye see your calling, brethren, that how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And he has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Now listen. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not. Listen carefully. And things which are not. N-O-T. To bring to naught things that are. N-O-U-G-H-T. Things that are not, things you can't see. He has chosen those things to bring to naught, amen, those things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. So here's a principle of God. God uses things that are not to bring to naught, to bring to zero. Now, my grandfather always said naught. He didn't say zero. He said naught. Amen. Naught is zero. So God uses those things that are not to bring to zero or to bring to nothing those things that are. Hallelujah. And this is another way we walk in the likeness and the image of God. God used light that was not to bring darkness to naught. Amen. Amen. He used light that was not. He called something that was not. Amen. To bring to nothing that darkness. Because once light is there, darkness is finished. Amen. He spoke light, and the minute light showed up, darkness was done. Amen. It was finished. It had to dissipate. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. So, do you see sickness? Do you see disease? Amen. Then speak healing, and sickness doesn't have a chance. Because God will bring that out of nothing. Amen. And cause it to materialize in you as a faith that will bring that sickness to naught. Hallelujah. I've often wondered where all these things go. I've seen tumors dissolved. I've seen breast cancers disappear. I've seen men eaten so terribly by cancer that they didn't have 24 hours left, and 24 hours later it was all gone. Amen. All those things. We've seen all those things down through 39 years of ministry and everything. And I know where it goes when the surgeon takes it out, but I don't know what God does with it, and I don't really care. Do you? Amen. Hallelujah. But this is the principle of God. Amen. All right. Romans 4:17. Even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which are not as though they were. Are you Abraham's children?
Yes, amen.
This is the principle he operated by.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Abraham did not consider what he saw. Amen. Amen. He didn't consider the deadness of his body or the deadness of Sarah's body. He was only concerned with what God had said. Amen. Hallelujah. And we preach that over and over and over again. Amen. He considered not those things. But what was he doing then? In considering not that which he saw, he actually was calling for something from the unseen. Amen. Praise God. And by calling that from the unseen, by calling that which was not as though it was, he brought to naught those things that he could see. Amen. You understand that? Hallelujah. It just negated it. It just brought it to zero. It brought it to nothing. The deadness of her womb was brought to nothing. The deadness of his body was brought to nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. Because he called that that was not as though it were. Hallelujah. So in effect, he called Isaac. You hear me? He called Isaac. Hallelujah. Now, listen very carefully, and I'll say it very slowly, because I want this embedded in you when you leave here tonight. Talking about what is will never change what is. Talking about what is will never change what is. That's why I don't believe in these pity parties and all of these things. I believe in putting away the past. Amen. And moving on. God made us new creation, new creatures. Praise God. Because talking about what is will never change what is. Now listen carefully to the second half. You change what is by talking about what is not. You change what is by talking about what is not. Hallelujah. Now, some of you are expecting healing, but you haven't called it. Amen. You haven't called it. You've hoped. And you've went through all of the things we go through and everything, but you haven't called it. Amen. And some of you are expecting deliverance, but you haven't called it. And some of you are expecting changes in your home, in your marriage, with your kids, and everything, but you haven't called it. You haven't called it. Some of you need a financial miracle and a financial blessing, but you haven't called it. Amen. You say, well, Brother Cobb, how often do I have to call it? You know, there's always somebody in the crowd say, hey, I tried that stuff. I did that for 3 weeks. It didn't work. Well, aren't you the epitome of perseverance? And amen. You see, some of them have had our mouths fouled up for 40, 50 years. And because it didn't change in 3 weeks, there's nothing to this. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you when you call it. You call it in the morning. And you call it at the noontime.
Amen.
And you call it in the afternoon. And you call it in the evening. Amen. And you call it at midnight. And you call it at 3 in the morning. And you call it at 6 a.m. Amen. And you call it when you feel good. And you call it when you don't feel good. You call it when you feel like calling it. And you call it when you don't feel like calling it. Hallelujah. You just keep calling it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And brothers and sisters, it will manifest itself, because God uses that which is not to bring to not that which is. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe we'll get in preaching gear yet, huh? Amen. I won't hold you much longer here, but let's go over to Mark 11. You folks have always been so kind, Rachel and myself, and I really appreciate your tolerance tonight and your acceptance, and I'm really grateful for your pastor to even allow us to try this. Amen. Mark 11, verse 13 and 14. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus answered the fig tree. Fig tree was saying something to him. And he was talking to the fig tree. I wished I'd have found this scripture years ago, when my wife and family thought I was crazy for talking to all the farm animals. Things like that. I used to get on my motorcycle and drive out through the country and just stop, talk to the pigs. We held revival in a city, little town not too far from where we lived, when Debbie and Rich were real small, and it was a turkey farm in between there, and I'd stop and talk to those turkeys in the evening on the way over to the service. And later on I found out that that's kind of dangerous, because you spook them and you can kill, you know, a couple thousand of them and nothing flat, and everything. And I sure would have hated to have that on my tab in those days, when a good offering was $6.75, you know. And but anyway, he answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee thereafter, hereafter, forever. And his disciples heard it. First of all, I want to show you here that you can speak to things other than people. You don't have to limit the word of faith in your mouth just to people. You can speak to your circumstance.
Right. Amen.
And you can speak to your debt. Hear me?
Amen.
Might get into some of these things in a camp one of these days if we do some more finance things. But you can speak to your debt. You can speak to your fear. You can speak to your body. You can speak to your metabolism. You can speak to your blood pressure. Yeah, well, thank you. Amen. 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 You can. You can speak to diabetes. Amen. You can speak to these things. It doesn't have to be just a conversation to people. So I want you to understand that, first of all. Second of all, I want to show you here, as Jesus spoke a word of faith to that tree, he spoke it so that his disciples could hear it. Amen. Now, some of you are going to get real excited about some of these things over these last three services, and it's going to just be great when it's you and God in your prayer closet. And then you might get a little bit more courage, and you might bring it out of your prayer closet and bring it to the kitchen table. Amen. But for some of you, unless I brought this in, that's where it would die. Amen. But brothers and sisters, he spoke it where his disciples could hear it. He didn't speak it just in his mind. And we know that our thoughts speak louder before the throne in heaven than our words do here on earth. He didn't speak it just in his mind. He didn't speak it just in his private sessions of prayer. Amen. He spoke it out loud with others around him so that they could hear what he was saying, even when he was speaking to a tree. Amen. Now you talk about being on the loony list. Amen. You think about that. He was talking to a tree, but he was doing it out loud where his disciples could hear him. And he was doing it where he had opened himself up to persecution and to ridicule. Amen. Amen. Now that's why when I claimed $10,000, when I called $10,000 for audio equipment and video equipment, I called it first in my prayer closet. And I kept it in my prayer closet for a few days. But then as opportunity presented itself, I told my wife about it. Then at a progressive dinner we were having in the church, I had 20 or 30 people around me, and I told them what I had called. Now each time that that level went up, and got further out of my home and got in front of more people, then the chance of ridicule and the chance of being mocked or whatever you want to say grew. Yeah. Finally, I called it in front of the entire church. Amen. And then that is when I begin to get not opposition, but I begin to get people that just did not understand. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's going to be lovely to let them know when I get home that just a few days after the calling in the public arena of the church, God sent me a check for $22,000. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I told that at a church the other night, and there wasn't one single reaction. Nothing against it. I love those people, and they really accept my ministry, but nobody said a word. I said, you guys must get $22,000 checks every week. Amen. Then a few of them said, amen, you know. Praise the Lord. We understand now, you know, and everything. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you see, I had to get it out of the prayer closet. I had to get it out in the open. I had to share it with my wife. Then I had to share it with some of those more intimate ones around me and everything. Then finally, I had to take a public stand. Amen. And that's the same thing I did 2 years ago when we were stricken with Bell's palsy on the other side of the face. I never once dreamt you could get it twice, to be quite honest with you. But the minute we were prayed for, the minute that oil was put on us and we were anointed, then everywhere I went, I just let them know, amen, I've called it, hallelujah. Praise God, and it will be here. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And you know, it wasn't any time at all. Most people that do recover, they recover over a period of quite a few months and everything. Some of them, it takes 2 or 3 years. And yet we were back in the pulpit in 2 weeks. And every day just got better and better and better and better. Hallelujah. And everything, because we'd called for it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. St. Mark 11 still. We're almost done. And let's go down to verse 20 through verse 23. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedst is withered away. And Jesus said, have faith in God. Now, that really means have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. Amen. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, now remember, you can speak to circumstance, you can speak to debt, you can speak to malfunctions in your body. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Amen. They saw within 24 hours the very thing that they had heard Jesus say. The very fact that he had put himself out on the limb for ridicule, everything else, amen, they saw within 24 hours the manifestation of what he had said, amen. When you speak the word, amen, when the word of faith is in your mouth, amen, and you learn to live as a little G-O-D, a little God, as a little Messiah, as you learn to unleash God's kind of faith, and all of these different things that we've talked about, then those around you, wherever you have had the faith to speak this out, they are going to see God on display. Amen. They're going to see more than just long hair. They're going to see more than just a lack of makeup. They're going to see more than a man just with a shorter haircut and things like this, a man that doesn't swear, things like that. They're going to see Messiah. They're going to see the anointed one on display in you. Hallelujah. They are going to see the very things that you said come to pass, and God will be glorified. His name will be honored. Hallelujah. You will strike hope and courage into the lives of others in the church and on the job and different places where God has placed you to live out your life and be that light that God wants you to be. Amen. Hallelujah. The world is going to see a Messiah on display. Amen. Hallelujah. A vessel that is conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, a vessel that is truly the Word in flesh. Amen. The choice is yours. I leave you with that tonight. The choice is yours. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Brother Paul Yingst asked me a couple nights ago as we were visiting with him, has this changed anybody in your church after you preached it? I said, well, Brother Paul, it's only been a few weeks. It's been about 6 weeks. I said, I haven't been able to take a tally yet of what kind of fruit it will bring forth. But I said, yes, there are individuals that have taken hold of this, and God is doing something in them. And I'll tell you, one of those people is my own son and daughter-in-law. Amen. Oh, it's so wonderful to be around a young couple that nothing negative ever comes out of. Amen. Hallelujah. And I tell you all this tonight, Paul included, that if it didn't change anyone else in my little group, it has changed me. Amen. It has changed me. It has changed my marriage. Amen. And no, Rachel and I weren't about to get divorced. Amen. You see. But it's changed our home. It's changed me in such a way that I have joy again and peace. Amen. It's changed me in such a way that my spirit no longer gets all jangled and in turmoil and with unrest and all of these things. Do you know something? It's changed me so that I can even drive down the highway now without calling everybody jerks. It's the truth. Amen.
Amen.
Do you know that if you can't get from one town to the other with about a half a dozen jerks upsetting you? I told Rachel I'm going to have to quit using that word because some of those might be predestined seed, you know. But if you can't even drive around the corner without getting all bent out of shape and everything, you've got a spiritual problem. It's true. Amen. And you know, I learned something else today that it's done for me. We went into Lima, Jeff and I did, for some business this morning, and came by a little fender bender, and the police person that was taking care of the thing was a woman. And you know something? He can verify this. I didn't get on my soapbox. I didn't come unglued. I didn't get upset. And usually, I tell you, that just blows me away. Women, police officers, things like that. It just, I can't. I haven't been able to stand it. And today I just drove by there and thought, well, what difference does it make? What difference is it going to make 100 years from now anyway? Amen. I know this is a woman's nation. I know all about the liberation movement, the now movement. I know all about lesbians, all this other stuff. I know all about that stuff. What do I want to keep my mind cluttered up with that stuff for? Hallelujah. And so it has done for me just keeping the positive word of God in my mouth and just speaking this word and the goodness of God to others around me and all these other things. It has done something for me that nothing else has done for me. Now, maybe I needed this area, but I do believe, brothers and sisters, everything I've said to you in these 3 days, these three services, I believe they are the infallible truth of God's word.
Amen.
And I believe that they'll change you. I really do. I believe that your deliverance is on its way. I believe that the blessing is on the way. I believe your healing is on the way. I believe whatever it is. And I'm so concerned about the younger ones taking hold of this. And even, you know, talk to my own grandchildren during this trip and everything. And I love my grandkids. And I love to dote on them just like everybody else does. But I know they don't have wings. You hear me? Amen. I know they don't have wings. I know they're just ordinary kids, just like your kids are. And we all sit here tonight with our church mask on. Is that the truth or not?
Amen.
You have your church face on? Now, this certainly isn't the same face when you're at home and you're pouring concrete and everything goes wrong and, you know, or you're putting up wallpaper or something. It's not the same face, is it? Amen. I knew a minister once that part of his pre-marriage counseling was to put a couple in a room and let them paper that room together. Amen. And I knew another one who put them in a room, had them tear a washing machine apart and put it back together. Amen. Hallelujah. But you see, we all have a church mask. And I'm thankful that we do. I'm also thankful I don't have Brother Branham's gift. I don't want to know what everybody really thinks. Amen. Hallelujah. It's taken me 60 years to defeat complexes. I don't want to start any new ones. Amen. Hallelujah. You see. But that being what it is, I know, and I don't expect us to not have problems and not have times when things just reach up and sock us, and times when everything seems to fall apart. And that doesn't happen here in church. That happens at home. That happens at work and all these different things. And putting this into operation is not going to be an easy thing. If it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. Amen. And if it was something that was just so widely known by everybody, the whole message would have caught it years ago, because Brother Branham preached it over and over and over and over and over again. Amen. He just didn't come out and name a series of messages like I have here. But he taught this. Amen. This has all been filtered through the message. Amen. There is not any non-message things here. I told God the other night, I said, God, if I really thought that I was preaching something wrong, and if I really thought that this wasn't for the bride, and if I really thought that I was doing something wrong by going out and speaking this way, then I'd just give it up tomorrow. Amen. All you'd have to do is just say it, Lord, because it's not easy fighting the devil all the time, everything. How many know that's true? Praise God. But I said, God, I know that's not the case. And so I'm not going to give up. Amen. I'm going to hang right in there. I'm going to stay with what you witnessed to my spirit last year in the camp meeting. Amen. I'm going to stay with it. Praise God. And I'm going to preach it, because there's people out there that need deliverance. Hallelujah. Praise God. And if I can come out of a meeting like this with maybe a couple hundred people that have been faithful to hear it, and I can get any kind of testimony back, praise God. If this pastor can see any kind of change, amen, in people that he knows need the change. And after all, he's looking out for your soul, amen. And he knows who needs it, and he knows who don't need it quite so much and everything. And if he can see change, then it's worth it all. Amen. Hallelujah. Take these things to heart. Get the tapes. Go back over them. Listen to them over and over again if you have to. Not because Richard Cobb preached them. Amen. Not because of that at all. That's not it. But to get this principle working in your home. And let me tell you something else. You spouses, and I don't want to go to meddling now, I'll quit. But you spouses, you may not both get a hold of this at the same time. And so one of you that do get a hold of it, you might find yourself really going to the cross day after day after day. And you might find yourself having to maybe even forfeit some rights and give up some of your expectations and throw that back over on God. Amen. Some of you, if it's the man that catches it first and everything, he might even feel that his headship's being threatened, whole lot of things. Amen. But you stay with this principle. Hallelujah. And I'll guarantee you things will change. Amen. Things will change. They'll change in your life. They'll change in your marriage. They'll change in your home. They'll change at work. Praise God. There will be a change, because the power of death and life is in the tongue. And you start one cycle or the other every time you open your mouth. God bless you, Brother Jeff. Hallelujah.
I want more of Jesus. Well.